Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, it is now or never. And so what we want to do is we want to get right into a lot of content because I've got a lot of content to cover. We've got an election day tomorrow in Idaho, and there's probably a couple, maybe another state or two, but the only one we seem to have any vested interest in is that attorney general race. We'll see how it shows up, but I will tell you that because of conservative organizations, they are not supporting a constitutional candidate. The only one that's actually committed to the Constitution, more so than any other candidate in a statewide race. So we're hoping and praying that Art Macomber is actually, you know, carried across the line. I hope that many of you contributed, because how powerful would it be to have an attorney general that actually goes after and actually starts getting involved in lawsuits and constitutional petitions against the federal government? I mean, we can't emphasize enough that we need your love. This is one of the reasons why I constantly tell you, those you want to give to me, hold that money. Hold that money for those who are actually supporting the Constitution, because they're the ones that really need the money. I hate to have these words cross my lips, that due to the fact that our elections are the way they are, it has been all about money. America is up for sale. And so if you don't support and you're not actually throwing money out, regardless of where your principles are, it is the system that we have to fight to take back. This is why we want to actually get people like Paul Venable, Art Macomber, Tom James, these people that we've had on this show in office, because they want to seize the controls back and move us back towards and actually restore our constitutional republic. Not just kind of hold it the way it is. Just remember, conservatives want to keep things the way they are. In other words, they want to be able to, you know, maintain the status quo and stop the slide. They're only looking to stop the slide. They don't care about doing what is necessary to restore our government, our Constitution. So it is now or never, and this happens to be the 996th episode. So Friday, if we don't have any interruptions and we get to play every single show that we do this week, then you'll actually hear on Friday our 1,000th show. It would have been sweet to have had done it on Friday the 13th, because that would have made it just a little bit more memorable, right? Anyway, we want to let you know that the petition to remove Biden and his entire administration is completed in a draft form. As soon as we go through and kind of chop on this a little bit, we're going to put it up. And what we would ask is that if you are ready to start actually leading, we're not looking for you to create a Reclaiming the Republic organization. If you want to assist in the growth of the Reclaiming the Republic network, because I was asked last week by a gentleman in California, Northern California, that basically asked, hey, do you have any organization, you know, in this area so I can get involved? And no, we're not an organization. Reclaiming the Republic is not an organization. This is a movement, this is an effort. And we work with other organizations that support this effort and movement. Now, in California, our primary organization that we work with is the Constitution Association, which is Douglas V. Gibbs's group. And so if you're looking to further Republic review, you're looking to help establish the Reclaiming the Republic network, then you probably want to work with those guys in doing that. But if you are looking to actually create and get your county on the track to become a constitutional county, not what, you know, some sheriff or some, you know, organization says, well, this is what a con— we want you to actually get your county into a constitutional layout and a government organization that actually has some criteria. You know, we got to restore the common courts, common law courts. We've got to restore the militia at the county level and so forth. And so this is why we go through these details so that you understand it's not about getting some certificate or paying some dollars out. Actually, you know, there's something wrong here when somebody comes along and says, hey, you can be a constitutional county if you give me money. It's like you can be healed if you give me money. Folks, haven't we learned from the charlatans of the past, these same scandals and these same types of, you know, I'll just say, efforts in trying to separate you from your money? What we want to do with Reclaiming the Republic Network is we actually want, and we need your help to do this so that we can fund you. Because bottom line, we're looking to actually fund the local organizations. And when I say the local organization, I'm talking about the county unorganized militias that are setting up and establishing their path forward in holding their public servants accountable. This is the only process there is, folks. You actually have to hold, I mean, that county commissioner may be a friend of yours, but if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, they have nice parties, and I don't care. It doesn't matter how nice they are. They, as a public servant, have a legal obligation and a requirement to support, defend the Constitution. So anyway, just letting you know, as soon as that petition gets posted, and it needs to be up by the end of the week. We need to have this thing posted and available up on Reclaiming the Republic as well as other websites immediately. And so what we want to do is we want to create these hooks and links, because the initial driver for this petition is actually coming out of Missouri. That is Senator-elect Paul Venable. I'm not jinxing him. I believe this man can be elected, but this is his campaign. This is a part of his movement in getting counties to stand up and hold their public servants accountable at the county level. And as we start doing that, then we can start holding the state accountable. Then we can start holding the federal government accountable. So, as you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Let me get through some quick obligatories and actually privileges I have. As a humble servant for you, it is a privilege to be able to endorse and recommend both Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching and Stan Kluett at RadioDustCovers.com. Both are patriots, both are providing awesome products, and they're putting their heart and soul in what they're doing. And so if you would contact Gary, if you're ready, Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching, if you're ready to actually take control of your finances and become independent, if you're ready to actually protect some of the things you have that you spent a lot of money on in your home, then contact Stan Kluett. You know, one of the things we did with Stan is we have some speakers that are made of wood. And these speakers are sitting in a placement where, because we have these windows, where the sun just shines directly on them. And I'm not sure if you've ever seen the damage that the sun can do to wood. And we're talking about a finished wood. Doesn't matter if it's polyurethane, varnish, or just an oil finish or what have you. You know, sun deteriorates wood. It just decimates anything. And so we got dust covers that actually cover these speakers so that they don't, one, dry up, start cracking, splitting, and fading, and all of that. So if you have something that needs something protected from something that's harmful, like the sun or dust or what have you, contact Stan Kluett at RadioDustCovers.com. Okay, so our comment line, 425-270-5416. If there's a question, you want to talk, you want to have a discussion over what to do in your county, initiate it with us either via email, or just send us a call. Just give me a call, 425-270-5416. We try to make this as simple as possible for you. You can call 24/7 that phone number. And I'm not sure how many people are paying toll calls anymore. I mean, this actually makes me think, why is it that we have what we call these, let's just say, hotels and services? Why is it that they actually have, you know, these 1-800 numbers and so forth? Who actually pays a toll call anymore? Why do we need to dial a 1-800 number, other than maybe it might be easier to remember? But the point in fact is that when we look at, you know, the phone services today, our phone services are, you know, unlimited, and we don't, I mean, international, no, but we can call anywhere in the United States, right, without having to pay a toll or paying any extra higher fees or what have you. So with that, let's get ready to rumble. And what we're going to do is we're going to get into some of the petitions that we finally created for the initial stuff. So remember, at the very beginning, we started talking about definitizing or canonizing the Constitution, getting states to clearly declare exactly what they viewed was the Constitution and what they determined is constitutional and isn't constitutional. Because this is critical, folks. We need the states to actually lay the gauntlet out and say, we do not recognize the government's ability to define the Constitution by themselves, that it is our Constitution, not theirs. And if they need guidance on what it means and what it is, they need to come to us. But definitizing the Constitution is a very specific process where the states basically say, this is all we recognize you have the power to do. Anyway, we're going to have some petitions for that and a few other things we covered when we get back from these two comments. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what we want to do is start off with the petitions regarding the definitizing the Constitution. Because, and this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg that we're doing, because as you start looking at and placing context to what we're trying to do here, then you'll actually be coming up with your own petitions. You'll realize that there's plenty of petitions that we need to actually start letting government know, hey, you're not doing this right, or you're completely missing the boat on our rights, our privileges, our immunities, and so forth. So the first petition that we have, And this is regarding the petition for definitizing. We need to start this at the county level. And basically, the petition would be that the original, that we need to demand that the state legislature declare that the original Constitution for the United States and its 28 ratified amendments are the only recognized constitution, that the general government's creation, use, and maintenance of an annotated constitution is not an enumerated power. Or actually, well, not just that, but what we want to actually say is not an enumerated role, responsibility, power, or property. Therefore, the states must use the ratification debates to assert and provide terms and definitions of the Constitution and all things defined and clarified within the process of ratifying that compact, that these things are not open to debate, that these terms and definitions are legally sound and solid, and that if there is a need by the courts to actually debate or try to interpret, their question must come back to the people to say, we need an amendment for clarity, or we need a definition of clarity. They're not to define. These guys aren't scientists. They're basically to take what is in that compact and basically align it specifically to what the problem is. Either it's there or it isn't there. If it's not there, then they need to come back and say, for us to actually do justice, we need clarity on this very specific thing, like the 17th Amendment. Can states be forced into, because Article 5 does not allow states to lose their equal suffrage in the Senate, can states actually not ratify and not actually have general elections for their senators? And clearly the states would need to step in and say, yes, they can, or no, they can't. And I'm going to tell you right now that the Article 5 Amendment Protection Clause, because the 17th Amendment didn't cover that, they would need to redo the entire amendment all over again. Or at this point in time, states have this fundamental right of being able, or I should say, the state legislatures have the fundamental right of being able to continue to appoint their own as long as they've rejected the 17th Amendment. Now, the important thing, and we have an article on this, you need to read this. It's on our Constitutional Articles page. Okay, so go to the Constitutional Articles page on Reclaiming the Republic, and we have a rescinding of the 17th Amendment article that actually goes into the details of what, how, and why. So this petition right here is really basically a shot across the bow for the states to basically send over to what we would say, excuse me, what we would refer to as the general government, and letting them know, hey, you don't have the authority to tell us what's constitutional or not. The Constitution is what has the authority. And if you want to start making up your own annotated Constitution and start giving yourself these abilities to change or do whatever you want, we're shutting you down. And this is why the states need to definitize the Constitution. So the next one, regarding a Republican form of government, this is the petition that needs to be done, that the original Constitution for the United States and its ratified amendments are the only recognized Constitution, that the general government's creation, oh, I'm sorry, I just read that one. And you know what? I'm going to have to skip forward. I've got to go back and do this, because I actually, what this Republican form of government actually needs to basically identify is that we need a petition that delineates that in America, a representation of sovereigns is necessary for a balanced government to have checks and balances both on the democracy of the people as well as the sovereignty that we've created for our governments and sub-elements of government. Because governments are formed and created and instituted by men. And in this republic, new states were formed and created by counties. People moved into a territory, and then people actually started basically establishing the state, you know, or putting the state on its path to becoming a state. But it originated out of counties. As the counties started breaking up, the counties started creating their own laws of how they wanted to be governed and instituted, as long as it was within and adhered to the U.S. Constitution. So this is critical to understand this, folks. So this petition that we're putting into a Republican form of government is one that recognizes sovereignty, and so not necessarily definitizing, because for some reason I started going down this path of definitizing, but understanding that your county deserves representation in the state legislature, not just you. By making it just you, then we're moving ourselves towards a democracy. And so what we want to do is we want to actually pull back away from this ledge of democracy where the people have, you know, their passions and their whims drive government. That is the recipe for disaster, because when we actually allow mob rule, the next thing you know, people start becoming decimated and actually oppressed and actually, what's the best word for it? They become the victims of tyranny, because it just takes a majority. You know, what we had, and the reason we were able to get to this position where we became such a well-diverse nation, was we actually suppressed the power of the majority. We wanted to ensure that all had the privileges, rights, and immunities of this concept of liberty, this concept of having, you know, the ability of being represented in our government. So anyway, let me just move forward to the next set of petitions, because the next set of petitions, let me see, did we cover these? No, we did not cover these. So this happens to deal with the Electoral College. So these are all new. In accordance with a Republican form of government and the Constitution, that the people, this is one petition. We've got 6 petitions here for you. So in accordance with the Constitution and Republican form of government, that the people, not the party, are to elect our electors to represent the people in choosing the president. So we need to make sure that when you vote for the upcoming presidential election, you're not actually seeing the candidates for president. You're seeing the electors who are running to represent you. Secondly, the next petition, that in accordance with the Constitution and a Republican form of government, that the state legislators cannot determine nor surrender the outcome of whom will represent the people as electors for the choosing of president, only the manner in how we elect our electors. And so, in other words, they can't change or determine who is to represent us. In other words, by party, this basically goes down the path of eliminating winner take all, and that the party chooses the electors. This petition pushes the point that we are to elect our electors, and that the state legislator only has control over the manner of the election. In other words, are we voting in person? Are we voting by paper ballot and those types of things? Now, in the next section, we actually take on elections as well. We want to make sure that we have elections that are tight and maintain the highest transparency and I'll just say it, the integrity of the design of an election, because we want to be able to ensure that every vote is a legitimate vote and that that vote was for something of the constitutional measure and so forth. So we'll dive into that in just a sec. The state cannot use primaries or any means of removing candidates and electors from the ballot for the general election. So in other words, the candidates can't be removed. The electors have a right to be out there to say, if you vote for me, this is who I'm going to vote for. And these are the principles I'll be voting. So that if this person doesn't make the cut, then the next, because I believe there's 2 or 3 shots that the electors have in voting. And so, but what they've done right now with the Electoral College is that they've locked it down to a binary process, either Democrat or Republican. And the fact of the matter is the parties have basically been able to seize control and determine who's going to be your president by using a manipulative process in, you know, trying to promote. I mean, how many times have we seen, both on the Democrat and the Republican side, of how they've actually suppressed, gone after, released information against those people that they want to remove? And this is why it doesn't matter who these people are, and it doesn't matter what their background and all these things are. What matters is the electors, that they understand who these people are and that they know what they're doing. So they're the ones that need to be telling us precisely why these candidates are better than these other candidates, how they're going to vote and why they're going to vote a certain way. We've got more of these petitions regarding the Electoral College and the basically focused on the Electoral College and the party, because the party's the problem. So when we come back, we'll finish these three other petitions and dive into some others. These are all petitions of areas we've already covered that we never gave you these.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
And see what happens when I try too hard to, you know, squeeze things out right before the break. So I'm getting better in some cases, but in sometimes it's just like, so what we want to do is we want to get back to these petitions over these issues, because remember, we've got this comprehensive list, and we're actually going to be publishing this, and this is not a exclusive Reclaiming the Republic product. I mean, even though I've originated this, but this is all based on analysis of the Constitution and working with several people, and we're working with the Constitution Association on this, so we're all going to kind of like jointly publish this as a collective document. And so as we go through this, as we start putting these ideas down on paper, or at least the substance and our context to each of these ideas, issues, and petitions, we want these things to grow so that this becomes a guidebook where we are currently within this government that no longer recognizes our inalienable rights and our Constitution, And this is kind of like the guidebook in getting us back there in using First Amendment petitions in pushing government back and getting them back into the framework of the Constitution. Because bottom line, folks, what we're dealing with is literally a level of tyranny that the framers, I don't think, could have fathomed and understood. But there's no doubt in my mind the good Lord did, because only the Lord knew how bad it was going to get. And the funny thing is, or the sad thing is that the people of America have been lulled into this, you know, oh, well, what can we do? It's government. That's our government, you know. No, it's not our government. Our government is constrained by a constitution. And so getting this type of information and helping people understand these things is critical. So getting back to this, the state cannot use primaries, and this is where we were going when we were going into break, that the states can no longer use primaries or any means of removing candidates and electors from the ballot for the general election. So in other words, the state can't do this. Parties, now listen to this next one. So these are kind of combined into this one petition. Parties, or it could be a separate petition, parties can use primary elections to reduce their candidates, but parties must pay for the cost of the primary election. So why are we the people bearing the burden of an election that is being driven by a small faction of our society? Now, let me go into this, because I don't necessarily cover this all the time. And so I need to kind of create the subcontext that parties are only, I should say parties membership is never a high percentage. And so if you look at how many people are active in the party, then you can actually see, there's probably maybe 5% of people within your county, or even less than that, that are active members. In other words, they're dues-paying members. Does that make sense? And you hear me typing because I'm adding this to this as we go. So when you look at a party and a party's strength within the county, within the state, they go by how many people are actually members and actually paying dues and those types of things. Now, there are people out there that may contribute to the party, but that does not make them a party member. That just means that you can, you know, I mean, how many times have we heard Trump and, you know, Vandersloot and all these different rich people that constantly pay both sides of the aisle, you know, greasing skids to, you know, make sure that they get their favors on, you know, on things that they want done. Well, the fact of the matter is we have to start looking at a party as an organization and its strength as its members. It's kind of like a church. When we start looking at a church and what a church can do, we have to start looking, because down the road, we're actually going to be talking about churches and empowering churches, but recognizing what a church is and what a church should be, because a church is not just somebody that, you know, by name creates something and then they use it as a fulcrum or trying to create leverage in obtaining money, access, and these types of things. And we'll explain this down the road. But what we want you to understand is that organizations are only as strong as how many people are actually supporting them, not voting for, but supporting, because there are lots of people that hold their nose and vote one way or the other. That doesn't mean that they're actually a part of the party and they're bought in and they're all in on the party. There are lots of people that actually are party loyalists, but that does not make them a member. In other words, they just have learned to have this blind trust on the party. And so what we need to do is we need to keep context on the fact that how strong is the party really? And this goes into this Republican form of government, and you'll see in these next petitions how we kind of spell this out. Because if your party is not even 20% of the populace, in other words, less than 20% of the people, and I'll even venture to say less than 20% of the people of your county today are dues-paying members of both parties. What did I just say? That means that 80% or more have no direct affiliation to a party. So how is it that the party itself has this ability to control who your electors are going to be, doesn't that disenfranchise the voters altogether? Are we a government of the people? Are we a representative government of the people? Or are we a representative government of the party? Because either we're a Republican form of government or we're a party form of government. And we're not a party form of government. The Constitution is clear. We're to be a Republican form of government. So this next petition, in accordance with the Republican form of government, that any elected representative in either House of Congress, which means the Senate or the representatives, or state offices or state, you know, legislature, or as an elector, as elected by the people, cannot be representative of the people. In other words, that any elected representative in either of these, as elected by the people, cannot be represented, cannot be a representative, oops, not of the people, but of the party, or any other entity. In other words, a PAC, you know, like these Liberty caucuses, these Liberty PACs, those types of things. You got to understand that all of these things are factions, and the fact of the matter is that they are to be representatives of the, and you can hear me typing again, representatives of the Constitution and the people. In other words, you do not have the option of representing, you know, this PAC, the Liberty Caucus, or the party itself. When we have absolute representatives, whether they be a governor as an executive, whether they be a jurist for the court, or whether they be a representative in the state legislature, your county commissioner, your sheriff, it doesn't matter. They cannot be representatives of the party or any other entity. That they must be representatives of the people or slash the sovereign. Okay, so that's the important part right there, because we talk about this, right? We talk about how the sub-elements of government are sovereigns and how they have this right of representation, such as in the Senate. The state legislatures have their representation in the Senate. And so they're the ones, it's like the counties. The counties are supposed to have their representatives in the Senate of the state. So when we start breaking down why we have bicameral legislative bodies, that's because they represent different constituents. It's not just of the people. It is of the sovereigns. Of the people are the fundamental sovereigns of all. God is the sovereign of the universe, but we in our government are the fundamental sovereigns of all of our government. However, in America, we've actually instituted sub-elements of government or foundational governments, and they themselves have a level of sovereignty and need to have representation in that body of government above the people and that base, like the county. At the state level, the county is in the Senate, the people in the House of Representatives. That is the configuration of our bicameral legislative body. In Britain, it's of the people, the House of Lords and the House of Commons. Those are just people. They're not recognizing the sovereignty of these minor governments. This is, when you ignore the minor governments, you actually empower the central governments, or I should say the general governments at the state and the federal level, to consume the authority and power and sovereignty over all things. By maintaining this county sovereignty, the county now has the ability to say, hold on, you're taking power that belongs to us. It's the same thing with the states. There needs to be an amendment in every state to ensure that all power is not delegated to the state or reserved to the counties and the people respectively, just like the 10th Amendment. Why is that not in a state constitution? Huh? That's because the states want to be able to collect, you know, basically create a collective form of government in pulling all of this stuff in and controlling it. Anyway, The final petition that we have here is the party cannot determine representation such as electors or even county committee persons. So we're going to talk about this when we come back. County committee persons is a buzzword that you need to be hot on. You need to understand that your parties are actually stealing your representatives that are going to the state house. We'll talk about this when we get back. I'm not going to bleed into these two promos. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so to get this all done, what we want to do is help you understand the county committee person. The county committee person, back in the old days, was a person that actually traveled from the county seat, because you got to understand, to get to the seat of government at the state level, you know, think about riding a horse and how long it would take to go a couple of miles. Well, a couple of miles, you know, a little while. It's a lot faster, a lot slower than getting on a car. And as a matter of fact, when people got into when they got on their horse, they didn't run that horse maximum speed. They ran that horse at a good maintenance speed that didn't hurt, harm the horse, you know, because you want to make that horse, you know, serve you for a long time with, you know, minimum maintenance, right? And so, you know, it took time. And in most cases, it took a day plus to get from the county seat to the state government. I mean, look, how many miles is it from your county seat? We're talking hundreds of miles in my state from my county seat. Hundreds of miles. So that's something that that takes weeks to do. So that when you actually, you know, go to represent the county, you kind of take all of the things that are of concern, you have a good picture, a snapshot of the county's focus, and then you go talk to your state legislators. Now, we now have the ability to do this in relatively quickly, a matter of hours to travel hundreds of miles. However, the intent has never changed, that it is the county, the people of the county, and their representatives who need to communicate to those state legislators. When you have county committee people, men and women, that represent the county party, now we're talking about a very small sub-element of people. In most of these states, now
in some states, the party may pay for this, but in most of the states, you'll find that there's actually budget, because in the old days, there used to be budget for this. And the budget would come out of the state coffers, and it would go down to the county just to make sure, because if the further your county was away, the more expensive it was for that person to ride and travel. Because, I mean, you had to stop at certain stops all along the way to where you either bedded out in the rain or in the elements, or you were at an inn. And so the cost of travel and your expenses were covered by this fare to make sure that the county's representation in the state was, applied, both the people and the county government. So in other words, this county committee person was there to ensure that in the House of Representatives that they were representing their people of the county, and that over in the Senate that their senator was representing the county's interests and talking about what's important and what isn't important. And if there was information that they needed to relay back, they would get back up on their horse and they would ride back to the county and say, here's the information. And then they would turn right back around. So this was almost like a full-time job for a county committee person. Now, this was kind of a position of privilege, honor, and or it was like a stepping stone to being able to get into office, because those county committee people were usually those people who were being primed to become the next legislator, county commissioner, what have you, so that you kind of understood the process, understood both ends of this and so forth. But my point is, with this petition, is that the parties have hijacked your representation. They've hijacked your electors, because they're the ones that pick your electors, and now they're the ones that pick your county committee people as well. You should be really upset that the fact is that the parties have been able to get away with this kind of action, that they've stolen your representation. This cannot be acceptable. So my point to you, my friends, is this. This is the petition. The party cannot determine representation, such as electors or even county committee persons, etc., that all offices and positions of public trust, such as a county committee person or elector, must be determined by an election of the people, not elections by party members, because party members or the party itself is just a small subsection of the people of the county, period. So if this starts making sense, then now we can really kind of see the crux and the source of many of the problems that we're dealing with. And yes, it's got party, all over it. So anyway, the next one is actually making elections local. And so we covered all of these things, and I'm just trying to backtrack to make sure that we've helped you understand that as we cover all of these different topics and issues, there are petitions. So there's three petitions here. In the petition above, we had six petitions. In the petition prior to that, we have one petition. And in the petitions prior to that, there was another petition. So, I mean, just out of the initial stuff that we've covered, getting into, down to elections being local, we've got easily 10 petitions. This hasn't even counted the money and property and these other things. We still have some petitions to cover for voting in a Republican form of government and how to hold elections. So these petitions regarding all elections must be local. The first petition is to demand definitions to be created and laws instituted to protect the people's representation, to ensure that they answer only to the people within the area of the election of whom these folks represent. In other words, I don't want Hollywood people, I don't want rich people walking in that do not live in my, my legislative district or live within my county, talking to, I don't even care if they're lobbyists working for, organizations and got great things to do. They're not their representative. When we're talking about representatives of the people, the only people that should be talking and being able to walk in and talking to representatives are the people from that area of election. within your legislative district. We have to make it unacceptable that a representative, I don't know if you've ever tried to talk to sometimes a county commissioner, what have you. Sometimes they'll actually say, hey, I can't talk to you about county business, about issues, unless the rest of the county commissioners are here. Okay, I get that. But let's extend that restriction to say, oh, I can't talk to you because you don't live in my district of the county that elect me. Or I can't talk to you because you don't live in my county, and so I can't talk to you about any. I mean, it's one thing that we talk about gas. You talk about me buying something from you. But when it comes to any type of business of government representation or anything else, I cannot have that conversation with you. I cannot accept anything from you to influence that business. I cannot do anything with you regarding these issues because I am their public servant. And I cannot allow you to influence me. Folks, this really sets the tone. So definitions have to be created. Laws have to be instituted in protecting the people's representation in the House of Representatives and the sub-element of government's representation in the Senates, whether that be the state or the federal Senates. No money, the next petition, no money can be contributed by a person or any entity that does not reside within the area of election from outside of the area of election. So in other words, if you don't live there, you can't provide any financial influence or anything else. These are only, I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg of this. There's probably about 10 petitions, but we've come up with three. The third one is all monies contributed or used in the aid of electing a representative of the people or of the sovereigns must be proven that the source of the money originated is in an acceptable manner, that the money cannot be funneled into a resident or laundered is what they call it, into a resident or any type of entity such as a PAC for the purpose of influencing the elections. In other words, Soros, his money is no good in any form. It doesn't matter who you are, the money is of no good. Now, you hear me telling you that we need to support these constitutional candidates because, and I'm asking you to actually violate these principles because currently everybody is violating these principles. And so the only way we're going to get people to actually start instituting these laws is focusing these down at the county and those people who are willing to champion it. This is why Paul Venable needs your hope and he needs your love. This is why Art Macumber needed that help and love. This is why Tom James needs your help and love. Dan Scadams, we'll be having him on and we're going to be interviewing him in the Montana state legislature race that he's running. And there'll be even more. There's going to be more people that'll be coming forth that we're going to expose, you know, what we have to do. And I'm begging you, please send these people $10. We need to do what the Bernie supporters that are living in your basements, you know, and their grandparents and their parents' basements, you know, in making these little contributions. You know, some of these people actually will go out and get a credit card, your $500 credit card, and just donate that whole credit card amount and then just kind of work that off because they know that buying the election helps buy their, actually, it funds, this is the best way to say this, it funds their entitlements because what these folks are doing is actually unconstitutional, which leads us into some other petitions that we've actually created that will actually stop and forego any type of candidates, any type of measures that allow the development and the sustainment of entitlements. Entitlements have to go, folks. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government.
This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.